Well, we will once again tonight be in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. This has been a fairly long study in just one chapter, but the chapter covers a number of different people that we are calling heroes of the faith. They are the ones that the scripture tells us in verse number 2 that they are the elders that obtained a good report. And so tonight we are looking at Hebrews 11, verse number 30, and verse number 31, looking at two different groups, but putting them together since there's only one verse for each one. We'll be turning back and forth out of the book of Joshua and also here in chapter 11. We'll be dealing this afternoon, first of all, with the Israelites and their faith. And then verse number 31 deals with Rahab that is spoken of in Hebrews and named and also given much detail to us in the book of Joshua. And so tonight we'll be looking at those two, and then probably next Sunday, or I'm sure next Sunday, if the Lord permits us to be here, will probably be the last in this series. Now, there's a number of verses in, that's still left, but these verses are sort of a closing to the chapter, and doesn't give you any more names, just gives you situations, how that people had had faith. It does give you about Gideon and Samson, but it lumps all of them together, and how that they had faith, and how others had trials of cruel mockings. And so we'll be looking at those three. There'll be three divisions next Sunday probably, and if we have time, we will get through with this study in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's read verse number 30 and verse number 31 tonight, and we'll look at the scripture, and then we'll go back to the book of Joshua also. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." We have two different things here. We have Joshua and Israel crossing over into the promised land, and they are facing now the city of Jericho. And this is the second time that the writer of Hebrews includes the Israelites, or the Jewish people, among the heroes of faith. Their faith and these things that are said come 40 years apart. We noticed not too long ago that they had faith when they crossed over the Red Sea. And that's when they was leaving Egypt. Now they have wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of their unbelief and the rejection of the spies, the two spies that gave a good report when they looked there at Kadesh Barnea into the promised land. 10 spies said that we cannot take the land. 2, Joshua and Caleb, said they could. And so the Lord let them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all of those of that generation passed off the scene. The only two that remained alive this second 40-year term is Joshua and Caleb, Joshua being the great general that he was that took over the place of Moses. When the Lord took Moses from the people, Joshua became their leader. And now 40 years has passed, and they are again at a place where they must exercise their faith. The first time it involved their exodus from Egypt. The second time involves their entrance into Canaan. And their faith was very strong in both of these places. We find that when we study about faith, all of us will understand that faith is required not just in the beginning of life, but also all the way through to the ending of life. Faith is required every day of our life to trust the Lord and to depend upon Him from start to finish. We find that the faith that they had when they come into the promised land, there was a lot of issues. There was a lot of obstacles. The first one being the city of Jericho. And this was a walled city. That was a city that was strong. When they left Egypt, they had an obstacle of no water. and they had to face that. And when they entered into the promised land, they had the obstacle of the city of Jericho. That was a well-defensed city that had walls all the way around it. Now those walls were strong, and they were completely surrounding the city. The Bible says that the city of Jericho was shut up. That means there wasn't any coming and going. The gates were closed, they were locked, and nobody went in the city, no one came out of the city, because they had fear of the Jew. They had heard about what had happened there those 40 years, how that God delivered them from the Egyptian bondage, how God delivered and destroyed Pharaoh. They had heard all the things that had happened, and now here this crowd is of millions of people that's come to their place and their city, and so they're walled in. They are a well-defensed city. It's not a wall like we would think, because the Scripture tells us that there was even houses in this wall. We know that Rahab's house was there. We'll be looking at that in a little bit. And so we know that there was people that lived in the wall. And so it was large enough, it was wide enough, it was tall enough to have dwelling places and houses there. It was there for their protection. But they found that their protection could not stand against the power of God. And so we'll look tonight at this faith that the people of God had and how that the wall fell because of their faith and because of the power of God. Let's go back now to the book of Joshua, and we'll look at some things here as we consider the Scriptures. The book of Joshua. And we'll look at chapter number 6 tonight, right at this point. Joshua chapter number 6. This is this chapter of the conquest of Jericho. In Joshua chapter number 6 says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in." Now notice verse 2. "And the Lord said to Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city at once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. In Joshua chapter 6, verse number 2, the Lord gives us, or gave to Joshua, and we have it recorded to us, the promise of the Lord. This was a promise that concerned what he was going to do for Israel and what he was going to do to the city of Jericho. He says, "I have given into thy hand Jericho." And so there's no doubt here who was going to win the battle. There's no doubt what was going to transpire. The only problem was they didn't know how. They didn't understand what the Lord was going to do. So the promise here was in connection to the instructions of how the wall was going to fall down. These instructions were not hard to follow, because they were difficult, but they were hard to follow because they was out of the ordinary. And we'll look at these instructions in a few moments. And these instructions that God gave them were instructions that human reasoning said, why would we have to do this? Why do we have to march around the city? Why do we have to be quiet? Why do we have to take our pictures with us? Why do we have to do all of that? And so we find here that God gave them a promise, and they had to exercise their faith in their Lord in order for this promise to have a fruition. You know, God doesn't work the way we think about. God doesn't work in our mindset. He doesn't work in our time frame. And God doesn't work according to human ability. Here I believe the Lord wanted to show Joshua and the people of Israel that God could do anything He desired to do, that God could bring them to the place of Jericho, and that God could give them a great victory, and never a shot had to be fired, never anything had to be done. And so He gives them a promise, and He said to Joshua, "I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king." So the whole city was going to fall to Joshua if they believed, if they followed the Lord. You know, there's a lot of promises that God gives to us, and they are given that can be fruitful to us if we do what God says. These are conditional promises. These are promises that are conditioned upon our faithfulness. Now, God tells us that we are His people, as the Lord has saved us, and God says, I will do if. And those are conditional promises. Now, there are some promises that God gives to us that are unconditional. God says, I'll never leave thee and never forsake thee. That's an unconditional promise. That is not related to the word if. God doesn't say, I'll stay with you if you stay with me. Now, there's a lot of religions, there's a lot of people that try to teach that, but God doesn't say, I'll stay with you if you are faithful to me all the time. God says, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. So that is an unconditional promise that God gives to His people, but there are many promises that are conditioned upon our response and our faith to Him. Now, this promise that God gave to Joshua, we find that it was conditioned upon their response and their faithfulness to what the Lord had told them. Look in verse number 3 through 5. And it shall come to pass, the city, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, go round about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when ye make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now here in these 3 verses we find the promises that come, but it comes with man's duty to do what God tells him to do. He says, you go around the city. Now, can you imagine an army? Here they are at a great city. Now, Jericho was a strong city. It was a well-defensed city. It was a walled city. And it was a large city. And can you imagine, here are these Jews, and they've got their ram's horn, they got their pitchers, they got all those things, and they march around the city. Now, they're not talking, they're not shouting, they're not doing anything, they're just walking around the city. They do that the first day. They do that the second day. They do the same thing for 6 different days. They just march around the city. The Scripture tells us in another place that they did not say anything. They just marched. They just followed the orders of the Lord. But they had the promise of God that He would give them victory if they followed His direction. And so they've done that 6 days, and now the 7th day comes. And here the Lord tells them, said, now you, on the 7th day, you go around the city 7 different times. And when it's all said and done, when it's over, you find that they are to give forth the sound of the trumpet, and they're to shout with a great shout, and the wall shall fall. So here we find these are strange orders. These are orders that they maybe didn't understand, but by faith they had to follow. There's a lot of things in Scripture we may not understand. As I said this morning, I don't understand things about salvation. I don't understand all the integral works. And some people try to figure out all the decrees of God and all the deeper things of the Lord. I don't understand all of that, but I just know by faith, if I believe upon Him, the Bible says He'll save me. And that'll work for everybody, not just me, but it'll work for anybody. So I don't understand it all, and these folks surely did not understand everything that God had told Joshua to do. And I'm sure there was those that probably wanted to back up on that, and probably some of them thought Joshua had lost his mind because he's just repeating what God told him. March around the city every day for 6 days. March around the city. Don't say anything. But then when you come to the 7th day, it required here for them to do something and to follow the work that God had given unto them. These are strange orders. It required considerable work for them to do, because every day they had to get everything together and they had to go around. They had to be patient in doing this. Notice as we continue on in the reading here in chapter number 6, in Joshua verse number 6, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it shall, and it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns, passed on before the Lord and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests and blew the trumpets, and reward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. Now the trumpets are blowing. Now the ark of the covenant is before them. There's a group of armed soldiers before it and after it. And they're walking around the city every day blowing their trumpets, but they're not talking. Now they're not, no voice and no noise coming, the Bible says here, out of their mouth. And Joshua said, don't do anything until I tell you. When I tell you, then you shout. Now for Israel to follow this, they had to be patient as they followed the word of Joshua, because on day number three, I'm sure some of them say, why are we doing this? And day number four, and day number five, and day number six, human reasoning would tell us that there are some of them beginning to wonder about why is this being done? And so he tells them when they come to the seventh day, then they are to blow the ram's horn, and they are to shout with a shout. And as the Bible says in verse 14, the second day, they compassed the city once and returned. And so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day. Here's the interesting one now. On the seventh day, that they rose early about the dawning of the day. Now they's up early about daylight. That's two. There are two times that it tells us that Joshua rose up early. Now the entire people of Israel are rising early about the dawning of the day, and they compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Here is the power. Notice verse number 20. It says, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. The wall that was standing, all of a sudden, is flat. Now that's a notable miracle. There are many critics of the Scripture. There are some people that do not believe any miracles exist. Some try to say that God knew there was going to be an earthquake, and so that's when they shouted, and the earthquake came, and that's what took place. But if that had happened, the walls would have fell down in every direction. But the Bible says here the walls fell down flat so that Israel could walk straight forward across the wall. And as they did that, notice in Hebrews chapter 11, our verse number 30, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the people of Israel followed the direction of the man of God, the general Joshua, and they did what Joshua told them, and Joshua told them what God had told him, and by faith, they did what they were told, and the walls fell down flat. Now, what made the walls fall? By faith, the walls fell. But it's the power of God directing the walls to fall down flat, and the Bible says they walked straight over. They went forward. The walls didn't fall back on them. The walls fell straight down flat, and the people of Israel, were given the city of Jericho. The Bible says they shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. Now notice in the latter part of verse number 20, and the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. where he was standing, he could walk straight across where those walls had been, that the wall fell down flat. They went before him and took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, and with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto two men that had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her." Now here we have the introduction of Rahab. So by faith the walls fell. By faith they walked across. By faith they followed the direction that God gave them. And a miracle took place there that day, and they deliver Rahab, that is known in our scripture as Rahab the harlot. Rahab is the last singular person, really, that is given to us in the book of Hebrews as with any details concerning faith. Now, we have other names that are listed, but it just tells you just a few things. But verse number 31 says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." Rahab and Sarah are the only two women that are mentioned here with any details given in chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews. Her action of faith is recorded in the book of Joshua, and we'll be looking at that also tonight in Joshua. Sometime, I don't know when, the Bible doesn't tell us, but sometime before this incident of the walls falling, Rahab had come to an understanding of walking by faith. If we will read all the verses tonight, I'm not sure we'll read all of them and get all those details, but there's a portion of Scripture that says that Rahab had heard about the Jew and had heard about the God of Israel and how that He had delivered them and how that He had brought them through the wilderness. She had heard that, and she had faith because of that. Sometime before the conquering of Jericho, Rahab had started walking by faith. And her faith produced some things that was helpful to the spies that came to look over the city of Jericho before they went in. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. Rahab the harlot. She is known by that. Most of the time you see her name, it is with that description, the harlot. What a wonderful thing to realize that God can save anybody with any kind of problem in their life. Here we find this person, to some people may be a surprise that she would be listed in the heroes of faith. She was a woman of ill repute. She was a harlot. Sarah demonstrated great doubts, and God put her in this book of chapter of Hebrews. And Rahab had distributed and demonstrated a great defilement of her body. And the person that is there, you would say, why would she be included? Why would a person of doubt like Sarah be included? Why would a person of defilement be included in the great heroes of the faith? I think before we get finished, we may see why, and we will understand why God did this for her. Why would she be included? She was a Gentile. She wasn't even a Jew. Why would the Lord pull her out? Why would God do something for her and her family? I'll tell you why. It's because she had faith. It's because she believed God. It's because she understood. And so we find that this person that is spoken of here as Rahab the harlot, she is included in the Hebrews 11 chapter with the heroes and those that obtained good report. She is included there with those that had faith. If you turn over to the New Testament, and we will go there in just a moment, but if you'll turn to the first chapter of Matthew, you'll read five or six verses, and all of a sudden you see her name in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here that she would be involved in the Jewish country. She had been involved in the tribe of Judah, and she's involved in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. God can take whoever. God can take whatever we are and can make us better. God can take whoever we are and work in our life. And I'm glad He's the God of many, many chances. He's the God that will help us. He does not regard who we were, but He does regard and does desire of who we shall be and who we can be. And so Rahab is spoken of here in Joshua chapter number 2 and chapter number 6 in different places. She is spoken of here as this lady that was a harlot, but she is the only one that's spoken of in the city of Jericho that had faith. Her, and because of her faith, her family was delivered from the destruction. She certainly is a suitable person for the grace of God. Aren't you glad everybody is suitable for God's grace? God isn't exclusive, just He doesn't have His little group. God offers salvation to all mankind. And again, I don't understand all of that. And God knows, and God gives us scripture after scripture that tells us that He has a people whom He will call out for Himself and for His name's sake. But here this lady, and find that she had faith. She was a harlot, but she had been cleaned up. She had the reputation, and that reputation followed her. That reputation still follows her. That tells us how important sin is and how sometimes destructive sin is. Sometimes things are never forgotten. Sometimes things are never put in the past and we are identified. But here we find that she is identified by her great faith, that she believed that God would deliver her. And so she is this lady that God used to give protection to the spies that came to spy out Jericho. Turn back to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that Joshua sent two men out to spy secretly. And he says, go view the land. And they came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And has told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. The king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wished not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out whither the men, when I wont not, pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Notice verse 6. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Here we find the stalks of flax laid in order on her roof. Now this faith that she had certainly took some work and much work to be done, and a job that was given to her, and it didn't just happen. The stalks of flax is a very difficult job to bring those up on the roof or upon the top, and there she hid those spies. She did that because she recognized that God was going to deliver Israel and God was going to give Jericho to Israel, and she had faith knowing that God would do that. And so she hid the spies, and there she is given in Hebrews 11:31 that she received the spies with peace. She received them, and she hid them, and she protected them. Notice in James chapter 2, interesting verse in James. James chapter 2. Verse number 25. We'll read verse 21 just to get the whole context here. It says, was not Abram our father justified by works? Now James is dealing with a very sensitive issue here of how that we are justified. Are we justified by faith or are we justified by our works? Now we know the Scripture teaches we're saved by faith. Now notice here what James says. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body is without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James is using these two illustrations to show that man looks at the works that we do. Now we know, the Bible teaches, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So is James contradicting the Bible? Is James contradicting something else that's in the Scripture when James says we are justified by works? Well, we are justified by faith in the sight of God. We are justified in the eyes of people by what we do. We are saved to go to heaven by our faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But people will only know that we're saved by what they see us do. So in that respect, man is saved by faith and by works. Saved by God, by faith. Saved in the eyes of men, by their works. Somebody says, yeah, I know Larry Jones. He's a Christian. How do they know he's a Christian? Well, it's by his works. I know, put your name there. Yeah, I know that family. They're good Christian people. How do you know that? Can you see their heart? Do you know they have faith? Or do you see their works? So James is giving us an illustration that man sees us as saved by what we do. God sees us as saved by what he does. And so Rahab is used here as an illustration as being saved by her works. Everybody in Jericho knew that Rahab was different than them because of what she did. She hid the spies. She put them under the flax. She put them in a place of safety. Nobody else in the city did that. So by her works, they knew she was different. They knew she was doing something that they wasn't doing, and that she had faith that they did not have. And so she received the spies with peace. And she received these men, and therefore she received the message. Look at verse number 14. And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." So here we find that she received these men, and they. And she received their message for safety. Notice here, why did she have faith? It says in verse number 8, "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them, unto the roof, and said to them, I know." Now here's the verse I was calling attention to a while ago. "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you." Now that's been 40 years ago. 40 years has passed since that happened, but she said, "We heard what God did." And it made an impression upon her. "We heard that the water of the Red Sea dried up for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites and the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." And as soon as we heard these things, she says, our hearts did melt. "Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath." That's a pretty good confession of faith. Your God is God of heaven and earth. When I heard what you did, and when she says we heard, I believe she's talking about her family. When we heard what God did, our hearts melted. And we know that the God that you serve, that He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you'll also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt in the wall. And she said to them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, and shall bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. He said, make sure they're all with you. And in your window put that scarlet cord. That scarlet cord represents nothing more than the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, He is that one that gave Himself that a household might be saved. And she let them down by a scarlet rope, a red rope. And that, He says, you put that in your window. And when we come, we'll know that's your house, and you will be delivered and be saved. So she pleads for her relatives, her kinfolks. She's interested in others. The protection is found because the Bible says she perished not. Joshua 6:22-23. And they went and came into the mountain, abode there 3 days. Whoop, I'm in the wrong one. Joshua 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and brought her out of the kindred, left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's house, and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even to this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Joshua saved Rahab. Now, the word Joshua means Savior. The Old Testament term Joshua is Jehovah saves. The New Testament term is Jesus. Joshua saved. Joshua of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. And Joshua saved Rahab. I'm glad tonight that I can say, my Joshua, my Jesus, saved Lawrence. And if you're a Christian tonight, you can put your name there. You can put your life there. Even though it may be spotted with sin, and by the way, we all are spotted with sin. There's nobody any better, any worse. We're all sinners. So it doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter what we're known by. The Bible says that Joshua can save. Thank God He can save tonight. Now turn over, and I want us to look at Matthew as we end up this lesson tonight. This is so very, very interesting. In Matthew chapter number 1, here is the prize for her faith. Here's the reward that God gave her Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse number 2, it begins back to Abraham, how that he begets Isaac, and Isaac Jacob, and Jacob all the different ones. But look, when you come down to verse number, let's read verse number 5. And Salmon begat Boaz, that's Boaz of the Old Testament, of, it's pronounced here, Rachab, it's Rahab. Now, if you will look, you'll find that Rahab is the one that is mentioned here in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will take these names, you have Salmon, when Rahab was taken by the Jews, put in their city, she took her husband was named Salmon. They had a child, and his name was Boaz. Or if you read the book of Ruth, his name is Boaz. He's that kinsman redeemer of Ruth. And Ruth and Boaz have a child. His name is Obed. Obed is born unto them. Obed and his wife bring forth a child, and his name is Jesse. Jesse and his wife have a child, and his name is David. So Rahab is the great-great-grandmother of King David in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a prize! Every Jewish woman that lived during this time wanted to be a part of that lineage. And here's Rahab the harlot. Because of her faith, she has been taken out of her idolatry, she's been taken out of her harlotry, and she's been placed with the people of God, and now she's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She'll never be forgotten. She's the great-great-grandmother of King David. And David, of course, if you read all these things, you'll find that it comes down to the Lord Jesus Christ. Two Gentile women are in the lineage of the Lord, and they're right here in that verse. You have Boaz mentioned, but Boaz took Ruth, the Moabitess. She's a Gentile. The book of Ruth is a wonderful book. And so Ruth and Boaz have a child. His name's Jesse. And Jesse has a child. His name's David. And David is that one that becomes the great king of Israel. And we find that because of her faithful, her fearless faith in God and God's people and God's Word, now she is in the eternal lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say it pays dividends to have faith. I would say it's worthwhile to have faith. You and I tonight, we may not be in that side of the lineage. Thank God I'm on this side of it. I'm a child of the King. Jesus Christ is my Savior. God is my Father. I have been placed into the family of God, the kingdom of God. I serve Him in the church of the Lord, and therefore I'm in that great family of God. Why? Because of faith. Same kind of faith that Rahab the harlot had. Salvation in the Old Testament is identical to salvation in the New Testament. No difference. Saved by faith. The Bible says Abraham had faith, and it was accounted unto him. It was put on his account. It was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness. Why? He believed God. He trusted God. He had faith. Rahab, one of the great women of the Old Testament that was transplanted into the Jewish lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of who she was, but because of the faith she had in her Joshua. That Jesus, God would save her, deliver her and her family, and give them freedom. Thank God tonight for grace. Thank God for faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, next week we'll look, and the writer says, what more can we say? What else can be said? when you look at these great heroes that God says are heroes of the faith that obtained a good report. And Rahab, every time we call her, Rahab the harlot. And thank God, He cleaned her life, He changed her, and put her in the line of Christ. I'm glad God can do the impossible. I'm glad God can do what I can't do. I'm glad God can take the vilest of sinners and make him free, make him have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight.